Let's just pray. Father, Lord, we say thank you. Lord, even as we're about to hear your word, I pray, Lord, that you will speak to each one of us. I pray, Father, Lord, that we will take something from today, Father, Lord. The way we came is not the way we'll go back. Lord, I pray that you use me to speak your word, Father, Lord. Not as I desire, but as you desire, Father, Lord. And your name alone will be glorified. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I've been thinking, what am I going to speak or share with the children of God today? And sometimes God works, the way he works with me is he will say, what is in your hand? What have you been going through? Exactly. You know, and I can remember, it was two night vigils, and I was sitting next to my son, and God said, I want you to speak about bones. And I said, bones? You'd be wondering about, why am I speaking about bones? Exactly, you know. And it just came back to me. I think Christmas Day, we were in the hospital. Last Christmas, because my son fractured his toe. And that was the issue about bones, isn't it? And then I got back into a couple of months down. Then I started having problems, my back, but it's healed by the grace of God. That also was about bones. Are you with me? And after that evening, my nephew that was in the U.S. also fractured his own bone, you know. And I started saying, come, what is all these discussions about bones? And as I sat down that vigil, God started revealing this message to me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I've titled this message, Can These Bones Live? Hallelujah. Can these bones live? And that is what the answer we're looking to answer at the end of these 45 minutes that we're here together. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And our reading is going to come from Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 to 14. Sam, if you have that, please can you read very loud from the New King James Version. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 to 14. Please open your Bibles and follow, because we're going to talk about every verse within this. Hallelujah. Sam, please.
Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and performed it, says the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. Now, before we go in, who was Ezekiel? Who has the name Ezekiel here? It's not a popular name, isn't it? I just don't know why Ezekiel is not a popular name. But Ezekiel means God strengthens. Are we together? And it's a very beautiful name. The strength of God, God strengthens. I'm just surprised that people have not decided to bear it. But who was Ezekiel? Ezekiel was a priest that was called to be a prophet. In the time where the children of Israel were taken to exile from Babylon, isn't it? And this was about 597 BC or thereabouts. And they moved to a place called Tel Abib, about 100 miles from Babylon. You know, and that's where they were encamped. They were moved from their own abode and they kept there. They were slaves in a foreign land. You know, and that's where sometimes you hear the song "By the Rivers of Babylon," isn't it? It was in Psalm 194. It was around this period where they were. They were in a hopeless condition. They had nobody to guide them. And that's when Ezekiel came out. Not only did he come as a priest, he moved on to the light of being a prophet. Now, Ezekiel's tomb is somewhere there. I think it's near a town called Al-Kif in Iraq, modern-day Iraq, isn't it? And unfortunately, there's a mosque that is built on it. Hallelujah. And some people are claiming that he's their own prophet, but we know he was a prophet of God. One of the best. If you read through the books of Ezekiel, you will understand what Ezekiel was talking about. The first 1 to 24 chapters was a prophecy against Judah and Jerusalem, the nation of Israel. 25 to 32, the verses, was prophecy against foreign lands. Okay? And the last part of it, from chapters 33 to 48, was prophecy about hope and salvation. Hallelujah. And verse 37 happens to fall in that part. So my message is about hope and salvation. It's about encouragement. Praise the Lord. Are we together? Now, imagine Ezekiel being a prophet at that time. What are you going to tell people that are going down? What are you going to tell people that are already down? It's like you preaching in the cemetery. Hallelujah. Go and say, rise up. The Lord comes at people will look at you, you're mad, isn't it? Hallelujah. But that is the scenario where Ezekiel finds himself. And that's the scenario where some of us find ourselves today. Hallelujah. But I pray, it's not me speaking, it's God that will speak and he will show you what he has to say today in the mighty name of Jesus. In my normal way, I'm going to talk from the elements because I'm going to start from the basis of what we're talking about. I said we're going to talk about bones. So what are bones? You know? And I just had to define what bones are to us. Now, it's a rigid tissue that makes up our body skeleton. I want you to understand this in rigid tissue. Tissue. Sometimes you look at a bone, you don't think it's tissue, isn't it? Now, one thing I know, a bone gives you structure. If you don't have a bone, you won't be standing here. Hallelujah. I've not seen a human being without bones. Have we? That's what gives us our structures. And it depends on how it is. Some have longer bones, some have shorter bones. That will give you your height and whatever it is. Hallelujah. Okay? And it's made up of proteins, collagen. Collagen is what makes it flexible. Your bones have to be flexible also, isn't it? At the same time, they'll also have to be hard because of the calcium. Who has children here? We tell them to take a lot of milk. And we say, what is the milk? It's calcium, isn't it? Because you want their bones to develop. Hallelujah. All right? Now, within the bones itself, okay, there are two parts of it. You have the cortical compact side, which gives it the outer shell, which is the strong part of your bone. Your bones are hard. Am I correct? Hallelujah. Or are the bones not hard? Sometimes you play football and you meet somebody that hits you on the bone, on the calf. It's very painful, isn't it? That's when you know some people's bones are harder than others. Hallelujah. Now, that's the outer shell that we have inside the bones. Okay? But then, we also have the inner side. It's called the cancellous trabeculum, I think. Less spongy, is a spongy part, and it covers the bone marrow. Please, can you just go to the next slide? Let's have a visual of it. Okay? You can see that, isn't it? So you have the outer part, which is a strong part. You have the spongy inner part. And then you have the bone marrow. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? Who is chicken? Hallelujah. Who is non-veg, okay? Apologies to vegetarians, but non-veg. If you break a chicken's bone, you will be able to see this. Am I correct? You see the spongy part and the marrow. Now, the marrow is very important. What does the marrow produce? Red blood cells, white blood cells, and white blood cells, you know, they protect against infection. Red blood cells carry oxygen. Am I correct? That's why when someone has leukemia, he needs a bone marrow transplant. Am I correct? Now, the reason why I went into depth on this, okay? Our God is wonderful. He knows what to protect, what is important. Hallelujah. How can you see such a structure and someone will tell you there's no God? Hallelujah. The marrow is what makes us live. I don't believe it was a blast from the sky that created me. There has to be a sovereign God. And to show you how it is, he even protected what was inside. Hallelujah. That is where life is. You don't have a bone marrow, you're dead. Am I correct? Doctors are here with me. Thank God they're sitting behind each one another. Am I correct? Hallelujah. You don't have a marrow, you're dead. And upon that also, I said it's a tissue. So what am I talking about, a tissue? It's gradually changing. It's moving, it's changing. Are we together? That's why you can see children growing. Are we together? Now, basically, I know there are two, it changes by what you call remodeling. Because that's what they told my son. They said, okay, are we going to put a screw inside? They said, no, just tight it. It's going to remodel and grow together. That shows it's a living organism. It's growing. Hallelujah. Now, they have moved it to osteoblasts, the ones that make new bones. Okay, osteoclasts, the ones that break and reabsorb them, and the osteocytes that control those things. Everything has to be in the right balance. If the rate of breakdown is more than the rate of growing, your bones are brittle. Have you seen people with brittle bones? Am I correct? And then if at the same time, if the rate of breakdown is less than being replenished, you have dense bones. I know I have dense bones. It's in my DNA, I know that. Because my parents have it, I know I also have it. You know what I'm saying? Your bones are dense. But what they're trying to say is you have to have the right balance in that. And that's why I say God is wonderful. And that just shows you that the bone is a living organism. Okay? If you have harder bones that are growing, okay? I think there's a word for it, osteoporosis or something. There are so many osteo issues, bones, whatever it is. I can't go down to the whatever it is. Praise the Lord. Now, the reason why I want to show you this is to know that the bone is living. You might see the outside, but there's things that are happening inside it. And that's why I say, can these bones live? That's the answer we're looking for. So we'll go back now. We'll look at it verse by verse. Verse 1. Praise the Lord. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit. Now, what made those bones dry? So for those bones to be dry, the inside must have been cleared out. Death. Am I correct? Death. That's what happened. They were scattered all over the place. And the reason why they're scattered right now, if you have someone that dies, what do? You bury them, isn't it? In those days, if you go to war and they kill you, the bones are left there to lie all over the place. They might gather the bodies in one place and then keep them. And then one eats the flesh. Vultures and animals. But nobody gives you a decent burial. Nowadays, if you have war, you have people that will go and bury you. Now, that was the reason why the bones were scattered all over the place. Can you remember David and Goliath? Where did they meet? They met in a valley, isn't it? In those days, if you're going to fight, you don't fight on top of the mountains, you fight at the valley. Some of us, when you were young, if you were getting into a fight, am I correct? You won't fight in front of your parents. Am I correct? You go and look for a secluded area where no one will stop you. Am I there? How come some people are showing me that they didn't grow up? You say, I'll meet you over there, you know, and the other person will come. And when you guys get going, no one stops you. The same thing those days, they met in the valley. So whatever happens, it happens in that valley. Now after that, everybody goes to wherever it was. And that's where those bones were. They were dead. The only people that I know, I was reading a book of how religions came about. The only people that I know that leave their bones out there without burying them is the Zoroaster religion. Towers of Silence. Have you heard of it in India? Towers of Silence. They believe after you die, they leave, take you to a tower, leave your bones there, and allow it to disintegrate. Those are the only people. But nowadays, people bury the dead. Am I correct? Hallelujah. Now, in the Bible, we have examples of people that were dry. Abraham and Sarah were dry. They were not reproductive until God intervened. Job was dry. He almost died. He had nothing left. Saul was dry before he became Paul. Now, where do we have modern dryness? Like those bones. You and me. There are areas of our life that is totally dry. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Even the church is dry. Now, according to that verse, it said, Son of Man, he brought into a place. God opened his eyes to see it. If God does not open your eyes to see, you will not see the dryness in your life. Are you with me? You can be walking, you can be preaching, you can do everything, but you're just moving. But inside, you are dry. You're almost dying. God has to open your eyes to see areas where your life is dry. Sometimes when you give your life to Christ, you are all firebrand, isn't it? Over time, you declined. We're calling for night vigil for men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you dry? If you're not dry, you'll be there. Pressing further. Amen. Amen. Yes. You'll be there. Now, what's the reason for dryness in our lives? I've put three reasons, basically. No genuine encounter with God. If you have met God, you'll be vibrant. You tend to forget your first love. If you go to marriages, why is it dry? They forgot their first love. When they were courting, it was on fire. After one or two kids, it slowed down. In the church, there's no level of discipleship. There's no accountability. Especially like children. There's no accountability. No models anymore that can inspire people to be Christians. Fathers, I'm speaking to you. It's very important. You have to be role models for your children. Hallelujah. You get opposition from the world. You can even get opposition from within the home, from your spouses. But you have to be role models for them. Because the church, the home is a small part of subset of the church. Hallelujah. Are we together? Let God open and see what is dying in your life as we speak today. Verse 3. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Wherever you are, God can reach you. He said, O Son of man. He knows where you are. God can say, hey, Brother Vipin, Pastor Dennis, he knows where you are. He knows what you're going through. I want you to know that. That's the first thing. He knows what you're going through. Don't think nobody knows. Even you have not shared with me, you have not shared with anybody, God knows. Hallelujah. Now, the funny thing is about that pastor, he asked God, can these bones live? What do you think God will ask Ezekiel that kind of question? Why? He was testing his faith. Am I correct? Sometimes I'll have some junior engineers in the office and I'll ask them one question. And I'm just testing them to see what they know. If I teach people, I always throw them with questions. Now, God was asking Ezekiel, can these bones live? He wanted to see Ezekiel's resolve. But I love the answer that Ezekiel said. Only you know. Hallelujah. Ezekiel was smart. He knew he could not limit God. How many times do we limit God in what we're doing? It looks like impossible to Ezekiel. He saw dead bones. Bones were gone. Marrow's done. Spongy part gone. But he said, only you, God knows. Sometimes it's an insult to God if Ezekiel did not answer like that. Because God is all sovereign. He knows everything. And he just went back and said, only you, God knows. Only you knows. I'm not going to limit you. You know. And one thing he did, he showed his powerless between God. I am nothing. Only you knows. Sometimes where I come from, you go and meet a king. And when you think, he said, whatever you decide, I go with it. What is that? What does that mean? Whatever you decide, I go with it. You have surrendered yourself to what the king says. And when you do that, what does the king do? Most often than not, he shows mercy. Are we together? Are we together? Let me get back to the home. Just a simple example. I'll give you two scenarios. The man of the house says this. The woman says this. Am I correct? There's a fight. Am I correct? And it keeps on growing two ways. Now, a smart woman will come out and say, this is my observation. This is what I think it's going to be. But whatever you decide, will go. Now, which true man will go against that? Unless he's convinced. I get it. She just said, okay, whatever you decide, this is what I think, but this is what you decide. Am I correct? But that would make him think twice and say, okay, maybe she might be right. Are we together? That's the same scenario Ezekiel was trying to say. Say, God, all he knows, you know everything. My hands are there. Let me not say they cannot live and it will be a sin unto me. Verse 4. Verse 4, Psalm, can you read from verse 4 to 6?
Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord.
Hallelujah. God asks him to speak under a divine anointing. Of a divine inspiration. That's why he was asked to speak. What are you prophesying into your situation? Hello, church. Hello. You have children, and the first thing the children say, I can't do this. It's just too hard. And what do you tell your children? You say, tell them you can. Am I correct? So if you can tell our children, what can't you tell ourselves? Am I correct? That's the problem. God has asked us to prophesy into our situation, to talk into our situation, even if it seems hopeless. Some of us were here when Sister Sonia was here and Brother Pastor Jonathan was here. I'm not too sure whether she shared this at this forum, but I think we're discussing with her, and she shared this as a forum. When her husband was in a coma, he was in a coma, and they said he was not going to come back. If he come back, it's anything. And he was there in a coma. What did she prophesy? She held his hand, and she said, go and tell Jesus that you have not finished your work here. She said this. Go and tell Jesus you have not finished your work here. It's not time for you to go home. The second she said that, he woke up. She woke up. She saw her situation. The doctors told her it was a dead case. But you saw him in church here. So what are you prophesying into your own situation? It can be a job situation. It can be a schooling situation. It can be a marriage. Have you given up on it? Is that what God ordained it to happen? Is that the word God gave you to say? It might be hopeless. It might be like those bones that have gone. You give me a bone now and tell me, can it create life? I'll look at it. I'll just say, you must be joking. Are we together? Even if it's too big. But now, who did the prophecy? God could have told, bones, rise. Am I correct? He could have said, bones, rise and come and become an army. But he asked who to say it? Ezekiel. That means you have a part to do. God asks, needs you to be the one to prophesy. To change anything in your home. To change anything in the church, in the kingdom of God. You have to take possession of it. You are the agent of change. If you have anybody that is not saved in your homes, you are the agent to say, hey, this person must come to Christ. God could have done it and said, okay, you're saved. But it requires us to be that agent of change. The church cannot be restored without you or me. Are we together? If the church is down, if these chairs are missing, it's not God that will come and fill it. Who's supposed to fill it? Praise the Lord. Who's supposed to fill it?
Me.
Hallelujah. And he says, and you shall live. I love that part. He says it twice in that verse, you shall live. That shows you there's a positive outcome. Hallelujah. Now, Sam, please, can you go to verse 7? 7. 7 to 8, yeah.
So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them.
Hallelujah. That verse tells me one thing. God asks you to prophesy. And when you prophesy, what does that mean? Obedience. Obedience is key to any blessing you're going to get from God. Are we together? You don't obey, you're not going to get anything. When God speaks and you say, do something, you have to obey. Obedience is the key to being blessed. How many times has God asked us to do certain things and we refuse to do it? Many times. Am I correct? Many, many, many times. God asks you to do this, you end up like a Jonah, going the other way. Am I correct? You're invited to come and pray in church, you run away. You're invited to a ministry, you run away. You're invited to house fellowship, you run away. How will you get your blessing? Especially when you hear God. Imagine Ezekiel refused to prophesy. Would he have seen the blessing? That's key. Church, that's key. We can speak here from morning to evening. 365 days a year. If there's no obedience among us, there will be no progress. It's simple. Go to your office. Your boss tells you, I want X, Y, Z done. What do you do? Huh? You get it done, isn't it? If you don't do it, what happens? Kalas. One say kalas. You're done, isn't it? But God is merciful. But you will not see the end of it. I was in my office. They gave me a target. A billing target in engineering, which has never been done before. Usually project engineers are given target, but I don't know what then Pastor Dennis spoke to the MD. He shifted it to us engineers, billing target. And I wrote to the MD, I said, I'm not accepting this target. I was bold enough. I said, I'm not accepting this target because X, Y, Z, this. And everybody was there. He copied me back. He said, I should work with those other people to meet the target. I said, boss, I'll do my best. I couldn't say no, I wouldn't do it. I said, I'm not accepting it because of this. But he asked me to do it. But I'll do it to the best of my ability. Whether I'll reach it or not is a different issue. But I'm required to obey. Because it's on top of me. Am I correct? Now, there's something in that part. And it says, in that verse, it says, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together. For anything to be revived in your life, there must be a shaking. Hallelujah. For anything to return to the way it is in life, there must be a shaking. Things must change. Are we together? Something must change. For you to lose weight, will God allow you to lose weight? People are laughing, isn't it? That's a common one. Things must change. And what must change, first of all, if you're going to lose weight? Diet. Exercise too, exactly, isn't it? If those things don't change, there's no shaking. If that shaking is not there, nothing will happen. Now, what do I call that? It's a shaking. Before you eat like this, you're eating like this. Oh, your stomach is going to... Oh, you don't exercise. The first day you go to the gym and you exercise. You come back home, what happens? You're finished. There has to be a shaking. God might ask you to go to the mountain and pray. God might ask you to fast and wait on Him. God might ask you to give an extraordinary offering. Did I touch some sensitive notes there? When I talk about money, that's when everybody says, okay, no, it's not me, it's not talking about me. God might ask you to make a very big sacrifice financially, isn't it? There was a shaking for Solomon when he brought that offering. It cost him something, didn't it? And he saw the blessing. And that's why those bones, there was a shaking, there was a rattling. They were not only coming back, things were happening, things were beginning to move. If they were all in one place, in one pile, how does A know how to connect to A? How does B know how to connect to B? Have you tried IKEA? I've tried IKEA. Sometimes I'll just get it upside down and I'll leave it for one day and come back. Because immediately you do your head in, isn't it? Now imagine all those bones just match together. Thank God we have animation now. You'll see the way you can get animation and you'll show everything coming out together. There was a rattling. Maybe bone Z was inside. By the time it was coming out, it's shaking to go and meet his other part. For anything to change in life, there must be a rattling, there must be a change. If you're a prayer life, you used to pray early in the morning, you have to wake up now early. There must be a change. There's no change without any shaking. There's nothing that will change if there's no shaking. Hallelujah. Personal revival requires shaking. And that's what Hebrews 12:27 says. Now this, yet once again, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of the things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Towards the end times, things will shake. The world is beginning to shake. Am I correct? There are signs. We're getting weather, storms, things that we have not seen before. Hallelujah. Sam, let's go on because of time. Verse 9.
Also he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live.
Hallelujah. I like it when you're on a journey. God, you say, I've done step A, and then you stop. God requires you to obey throughout. Obedience does not stop at one stage. When God tells you something, you see to the end, to the finish. That's why he came back to prophesy again. The bones were there. They came together. There was no life. God asked him again to prophesy. He could have gone back and said, I've seen the end of this. There's nothing more. I've come together. They cannot have this life. Who will give life to this? But God required him to continue in a place of obedience. Have you continued in a place of obedience? Have you tried and given up? Have you tried without your child and given up? Have you tried in that job hunt and you have given up? Have you tried in that visa issue and you have given up? Have you tried in that ministry? You're giving up. You cannot give up because God has asked you to continue on a journey. Wives, don't give up on your husband. Likewise, husbands, don't give up on your wives. It's till what? Death do what? I didn't hear that. Till death what? And don't kill them. Not that kind of death. Hallelujah. Now, the part I love, the bones came up, the flesh was there. Maybe they were lying down, but they could not move because there was no breath of life. You cannot live without the Spirit of God inside you. God needed to breathe that Spirit inside. For your bones to live, for things to live, the Spirit of God needs to breathe into it. When you're starting a business, you're asking for God to come and bless it. Am I correct? God is breathing into your business, isn't it? When you go to work, the first thing is, as you sit on your desk, is you have to pray to God for that day, isn't it? You're asking for the Spirit of God to come and be with you. And that's why he had to prophesy to those bones. Now, verse 10 says, "So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding army." Breath came into them. Now, I want you to understand this. If it was 1,000 people that died during that war, 1,000 people came back as an army. An exceeding army. From nothing to an exceeding army. Now, what happens in an army? In the army, everybody thinks as one. In this, our journey, we need unity. To glorify God, we need unity. In the church, we need unity. Hallelujah. It's not that I'm Malayalam or I'm Tamil. We go at different ways. It's not that I'm Igbo. I'm Yoruba, I'm Hausa. We go in our way. No. It's not that I'm Kikuyu, isn't it? Or Luo, Kenyans, am I correct? And you go in different ways. Am I correct? You are required to be together. Your only credential is that you're Christians. Regardless of where you come from. I think I was discussing with somebody. I said the beauty about Christianity is the only ID card I need to show you is that I'm a Christian. And you are required to accept me as a brother and a sister in Christ. Regardless of where we come from. Hallelujah. We need that unity. For you to be an exceeding army in your family, you need to be united. When I talk about family, what am I talking about? Husband and then after that, you have children. I'm not talking about husband and relatives. I'm not talking about a wife and relatives or husband and friends or wife and friends. Husband and wife, that's a unity together. For you to be a force. And then when you come to church, when you're united, you become a force. Hallelujah. The church in Oman can grow bigger, can do better. Am I correct? If all the congregations got together as one, there's nothing we cannot do in this land. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Because the spiritual unity of the church is at God's heart. The church today is failing is because it's not united. Everybody has gone on his own tangent. Hallelujah. Zam, can you read verse 11 to 14?
Then he said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, 'Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off.' Therefore, prophesy and say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord.
You shall know, you shall live. That's what those verses was filled at. That shows you everything that God does for your life is so that he'll be glorified. That exceeding army was so that God himself will be glorified. God needs you to live. God needs you to prosper. Not for anything, so that he alone will be glorified. Whatever situation you're going through, it can be turned around, but to the glory of God. Are you with me? Seek the glory of God in all that you do, and your answers will come. Am I correct? Just try it. If there's anything, just try it. You're seeking the glory of God in anything, it shall happen. Hallelujah. And it shows a positive ending. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. My time is almost spent, so I'm going to summarize this vision for us. I know I've broken down the verses. I've taken all the verses, but I'm going to summarize it. My own takeaway points. It can be your own takeaway points. Because as I was going through the verses, I hope you're able to write one or two things you got from what I explained. But the takeaway points. God can resurrect your dreams and visions. Amen?
Amen.
God can go to that your graveyard and resurrect that vision or that dream he has given you. It's never too late. I have some people here that God has told you something you have forgotten about. He said it's never going to happen again. But I'm here to stand and tell you, God can make that happen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's my takeaway. If he can do it for bones, what can he not do for you? You're already living. You're steps ahead. Don't be discouraged. Be encouraged that God will do it. Number two, God can step in the middle of your chaos and give you peace. I don't know here. Someone, things are all moving around. You seem to be here and there. God can step in there and give it order. And God promises to order those things for you. Like those bones that were scattered, God will bring them into order, into alignment. Hallelujah. Have you ever been in a chaotic situation? Am I speaking to somebody? I don't understand. God will straighten things out for you.
Amen.
God will straighten things out for you.
Amen.
And he'll grant you peace.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The other thing, number three, God will fulfill what he says he will do. Hallelujah. Take it to the bank. Take it to the bank any day. Whatever God says he will do, he will do. Am I correct? Go throughout the Bible. Whatever God says he will do, he will do. In those verses, he said he will do so that they will know you shall live. Did those bones live or not? Whatever God says concerning you, he will fulfill it. Hallelujah. Number four. God is not interested in anyone that should die or perish. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is not interested that you should perish. God is not a wicked God, guys. Sometimes you sit down and say, oh, I'm in this scenario because of God. God has decided to punish me, this and this. No, 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 no. God is not a wicked God. God's desire is that man shall not perish. That's why during COVID, when I saw people dying, am I correct? I felt it was not God's intention for people to die. I knew it was not the end of the world. Some people were shouting, it's the end of the world, this and this, this and this. But my Bible says that he does not wish man should die, instead for man to repent. I knew God still had time for people to come to him. God's not wish is for you to fall sick. God's wish is not for you to be out of a job that you'll not be able to feed. God's will is not for you to be here illegally that you don't have a visa. He does not want anybody to perish, but he wants you to live. It's very easy. A child will look at his parents, he will never think ill of his parents. Am I correct? He knows his parents have good intentions for him. Sometimes teenagers might not feel that way. But I know, they know that they have good intentions for them. It's the same thing with our Heavenly Father. He has good intentions for whatever we're going through. He has good intentions for us. Number five. You know, when God breathed into that, from time immemorial, God has wanted us to have the Holy Spirit within us. He has been looking to empower us with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Pastor spoke about it last Friday, isn't it? Baptism of the Holy Spirit. What is significant here is that without the breath of God, without that Spirit of God inside, those bones could not have functioned. Am I correct? If that Spirit was not breathing to them, they'll stay back there and they'll rot back to become bones. Am I correct? For your bones to live, for your situation to live, you need the Spirit of God in you. If you have not given your life to Christ, you need to give your life to Christ. Things will work through the Spirit of God. Are we together? Church, are we together? Yes. It's very, very key. It's a key to changing things. The bones were there. They were revised. They came back together. The flesh was there. But they could not move without breath. You can be born again. Hallelujah. You will end up in heaven. But for you to function and to move and to do what is right, you need the Spirit of God in you. It's the Spirit of God will tell you what to do and what not to do. Am I correct? So you need to desire it. Number six, and it's very important. You are the agents of change and deliverance on this earth. God has put you here for a purpose. You need to have empathy. You need to preach the gospel. You need to be able to take people to heaven with you on that last day. Am I correct? You are the agent of change. You pray into that situation. Your colleague's situation, you pray into it. Your family's situation, you pray into it. You might be the person that is needed to save somebody in your family. You are the agent of change. God is not going to come down and change things. That's why I'm a little bit worried about churches that preach prosperity without the aspect of work, hard work. You will not prosper if you don't do hard work. Am I correct? God will not carry riyals from heaven and just throw it at you. I've never seen it. Have you seen it? You need to work and do something. Ezekiel was asked to prophesy. He did it. You also need to be agent of change in this land. Let's not keep our voices quiet. Let's preach the gospel of word. Let's change things. You go to the hospital, the doctor gives a report. No, I'm not going to accept this. This is what my God says. Am I correct? I'm not going to accept this. This is what God has agreed with me. Hallelujah. Number seven, and the sweetest for me. It will end in praise and worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It will end in praise and worship. God that knows the beginning from the end knows the end. Whatever you're going through, God has said it will end in praise and worship. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you claim that?
Yes.
It will end. It will end in praise and worship. When the bones were there in the land, he ended up with an exceeding army that was standing on their feet. I can imagine the people that would have heard of it in those days. All they could have done was to praise and worship God. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you that situation you're going through will end in praise and worship.
Yeah.
When you leave today, hold on to that word. Whatever you're going through, whatever, I'm not privy to it. But the word of God says it will end in praise and worship.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And I'll conclude this message. Hallelujah. My conclusion is this. Yes, these bones can live. I hope all of you can say that. Yes, these bones can live. Say to yourself, yes, these bones can live. And finally, your best is yet to come. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. God has spoken to you. Every one of you, God has called you to live. To live for Him. Nothing dead in our life. If you have any thoughts of the or any plans, and if you think that you lost your hope concerning that, today God has spoken to us. He will revive everything, whatever you felt that it is lost. If you are in the position of lost your hope on anything, today the message came to us, God will revive that. The dead bone, if the dead bone can live, why not our last hope will revive by our God. Amen. So you have heard last most of almost 1 hour, God has spoken to us. All of the messages are the timely messages. Even God has given us the takeaway home messages to us. What are they? Number one, what are they? Take away message. God can your visions and dreams. Second, God can step in kind, bring order and peace in the midst of chaos. Three, God fulfills what He says He will do. Because our God is God of promise. Even what we are today is the fulfillment of God's promise. What we heard today is the fulfillment of God's promise concerning every one of us. Four, God is not interested in the death of anyone. So that proves that we came out of the last two, before 3 years, the COVID-19. Verse five, the 5 point, God is interested in improving His children with the Holy Spirit. So the last week we heard about the Holy Spirit. Now again it is a reminder, and it is necessary for all of us to experience and desire and to experience the Spirit of God in us. We want to make sure that we live by Spirit. We live by Spirit. Only flesh is not enough. Only the bone is not enough. God has to speak. The prophet has to speak. The Spirit has, the bone, the flesh, the skin has to have life. The Spirit is important. Hello? The Spirit is important. Yes, 6. You are agent of change and deliverance on this earth. 7. It will end in praise and worship. Just when you look behind the one chapter, what the promise God given to us, 36 verse 24 onwards, I will read it for you. I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Verse 25. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. 26 is important. I will give you a new heart. I will give you a new heart and put you new spirit within you. I will take the heart of the stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. This is the promise. Whatever you are, please stand to your feet. Whatever you are thinking, whatever you heard, if you heard fully or partial, if you have a stony heart, today the promise comes to us. He will give you the flesh and give you heart of flesh and put you in spirit and give you life. We are called to live. Hello? We are called to live. Live for God. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for your Word, which you prepared and you spoke to your children. We are yours. Thank you for reviving our spirit. Lord, we are revived by your Word, by your Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for the word of encouragement. Lord, every word comes to us. They are very timely and they are your promises. We believe in you. Here we are, surrender ourselves before you. Spirit of God, take control over us. Take control over our families. Take control over our relationship between the family. Lord, indeed, you are faithful God, faithful in your promises. As it is said, all your promises, yes and amen. Let the promises, the word, what you have spoken to us, be yes and amen in our life, in our families, in our church, in our nations, Lord, to glorify you. Continue to bless your servant. Bless and use him mightily in the days to come and give him more revelation in the future. Father, in the same way, we pray for every one of us who gather here, every family representing. Let your presence remain in every one of us. Father, we also thank you for the vigil night which you have prepared for us. We are expecting the great thing that you are going to do. As you are going to revive us, revive our families. Father, as we are going to depart from this place, take us to our respective homes. Let peace be our portion. Until we meet again, let us remain in fellowship and peace with you. In Jesus' precious name, we offer this prayer. Amen. Let us share our grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness.